Okay, we still got 5 more minutes. You got anything you want to ask? You can. Anybody who don't have Krishnamurti code earlier on, you can collect. You can come and collect. So very fast. This Sunday we are going to have our gathering of Kayanamita. It's a lunch, so don't go and come for dinner. Yeah, 18 October, then after that, end of the year, very fast. Then November, then Christmas, after that, Chinese New Year. So, the annual routine. But when you understand life, they become meaningful. When you don't understand life, you cannot understand what is going on. Everything is like crazy. Then there is one small group that is going to Anandagiri, November, then followed by India trip again.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we can get ready for puja. Huh? So tonight, who is lighting the candle and the incense? Kathy? Okay, come up. Who is the other one? Also helping. You will have the honor to come out and light the incense and the candle. You have been chosen, given the honor. You press the green button. You see who is it first. Press the green button. Okay. Come, we can all stand. Okay. Sadhu. Oh, another bouquet. Sadhu. Sadhu. Never mind. You just move it. Or light the thing again. The candle. Okay. Good. Sadhu. Go on with the next one, the fruits. Sadhu. Sadhu. sadu, 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 sadu. Sadu, sadu, sadu. Give the song. Sadu, sadu, sadu. 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 Sadu, sadu. Sadu, 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 sadu. Okay, thank you. You all can have your seat. Then we can start our puja. Okay, compose your mind. Yeah. Develop the faith, sadha, the virya. Then we will pay respect to Triple Gem. We will chant the Thai tradition. Pay respect mindfully. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho saṅghaṁ namāmi. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 4 of the chanting book. Then we can start off with the chanting of the Vandana which is a salutation to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, now we will chant the Patipapuja, offering of light. Gannasarapatithena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayuthena dopenahang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang thang puja bachanamuttamang vanna ganda gunopetang etang kusumasantatin pujayami monindas siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena mattena cha hotu mokhang tang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tu no bante paniyang karikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hatu mutamang. Okay, turn to page 18, where we will do the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance. Understanding the significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthens our faith and constantly reminds us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making our overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas, sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will rise and pay respect to Tripaja. Develop the mind, develop the faith, the sadha, the virya, then pay respect mindfully. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can start our meditation session. So today, maybe I will go through one more round with you all, so as to refresh you all about the understanding of what we do here. Yeah. We start off with the puja. Puja is a Pali word. Its meaning is devotional practice and offering. Means through this devotional practice, we make offering to the Triple Gem. Then through this, a lot of wholesomeness gets developed. You will get to perform a lot of meritorious action. Then you get to develop your mind so that your spiritual faculties can be developed and you can stabilize it, because it will help you in the meditation. So all this has its great benefits and significance. That's why we start off by rejoicing with all the wholesomeness that people have done. We rejoice with their faith, their sincerity, their kindness, and their diligence to develop this understanding of the Buddha's teaching. And as we rejoice, we develop a good mind. A mind that can rejoice is happy. We rejoice with the goodness of everything that arises, with the wholesomeness of all. So this rejoicing is one of the four Brahma Vihara states that all cultivator has to develop. It can do away with envy and jealousy. It can also do away with the opposite of like developing the negative state of mind instead of rejoicing. Yeah. So all these are very beneficial. Then as we start our chanting, we pay respect to Triple Gem. which are our salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. That's why we say Arahang Sama Sambuddha. Then after that, Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo the Dhamma. Then Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. These are the triple gem where we will have to take refuge, pay our respect. Then after that, we start our chanting. Our chanting is also very wholesome because first we invoke the Vandana, which is salutation to the Buddha. So we chant Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Namotasa first. Namotasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. The meaning is homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Means the Buddha is not only enlightened, he is the fully enlightened one. So when we pay homage with understanding, with faith, and we do it mindfully, the field of merits is immeasurable. Because the Buddha is not only an enlightened being, he is the fully enlightened one, the worthy one, perfect in wisdom and virtue. To have such a being to become our teacher and guide, we will have a lot of gratitude towards him, a lot of respect towards him. That's how your faith in him develops and becomes very strong. Then through understanding his teaching, how wonderful this teaching is all about, how it can transform living beings and make them so different. It can bring about great understanding, enlightenment, liberate the mind so that it's not deluded, so that it don't have to go through suffering anymore, so that your mind state is always peaceful, with a lot of clarity, inner peace and inner awareness. You are always heedful. There is no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more stupidity, and no more sorrow and lamentation. No more insecurity and all those other negative mind states. And because of that, we will develop a very wholesome mind. And the spiritual faculty of Saddha will bring forth the virya, which is a spiritual zeal, to cultivate this teaching of the Buddha, because we see the importance in this teaching. So Saddha virya are the first two spiritual faculty where they will bring forth the condition for the third spiritual faculty, which is mindfulness or awareness or the silent mind within. The moment you are silent without thought, body and mind as one, when you pay respect, you are in sati, and that is mindfulness. That's why this puja also train your mind to develop mindfulness. Then when sati arises, the mind become very different. It is so quiet, so peaceful, and so full of spiritual joy, pity. Then there is clarity. Then it will accumulate into samadhi. Samadhi is a fourth spiritual faculty. It is the collected, unwavering mind that can allow you to see things as they are, to develop the wisdom or the understanding, which is the fifth spiritual faculty. And these five spiritual faculty are very important mind state that can enable you to understand the spiritual teaching. Without this spiritual faculty, the Buddha said, your mind state is very weak. That's why people cannot meditate, is because they have the opposite five, which he called the mental hindrance. The five mental hindrance are the opposite of the spiritual faculty. When you don't have the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance keep on arising. It will make you heedless. It will make you think a lot. It will trigger off a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, leading to restlessness of mind. That's why the five mental hindrances are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, which is sleepiness or lethargic mind. Then the fourth hindrance is restlessness of mind. When your mind becomes restless because of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, you cannot meditate because there is no peace. So restlessness come about because of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. All these are negative states. Negative mind state with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So all this, as you progress along the path of Dhamma, you will start to understand the importance of cultivating the spiritual faculty. Then after that, we start to chant the three refuges. Vedang Saranam Gacchami. Then we repeat second time to Tiyampi, we go for refuge. In the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, then the other third time, Tatiyampi, we go for refuge in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. The reason why we need to take refuge in this triple gem is because these are the special gems. In the olden days, all of the precious stone, the most precious among them are called the gemstone. That's why it's called the gems. The most precious among the precious ones. So this triple gem, the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, these are the three gems that can give you the teaching, that can bring about the understanding to awaken your mind to become enlightened. That's why you have to take refuge. Apart from this triple gem, there is no refuge safe, the Buddha said. You can't find the teaching. The first refuge is the Sammasambuddha, because he is the fully enlightened one, he will have the teaching. The second refuge is truth itself, Dhamma, which is the teaching of the Buddha. So you take refuge, you will also have the understanding. Then the third refuge is the Sangha, the enlightened disciples of the Buddha. Because they are enlightened disciples, they also have the understanding and the teaching. So these refuge are very important. And when you constantly determine to take refuge, you create great affinity with the Triple Gem through your understanding, through your respect and faith in them. Then all this will create great affinity for you to connect. Then whenever you arise, wherever you arise, if there is this Triple Gem, the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, you will connect to them. Because of your refuge. That's why taking refuge is very important. Then we renew our precepts, the five precepts. And these are very important. Their precepts are moral principles, moral undertaking that will enable you to avoid all evil so that your karmic nature will not fall, so that you are incapable of negativity. Those who violate the five precepts, they are evil people. They are people that has greed, hatred, and delusion, the three evil roots. And they are the roots of all evil. That's why when you want to develop the meditation, you must keep your precept so that your mind state are wholesome, beautiful. The absence of negativity is good. So all this understanding will arise. Yeah. Then we chant the puja offering. Then we make aspiration through understanding the significance of all this puja offering. We offer light, we offer incense, we offer clear water, we offer fruits, we offer flowers, and we offer whatever that can bring about understanding. So when we reflect, contemplate, and make aspiration through our understanding, it will pave the way for us all to have the causes and conditions to walk the path of Dhamma successfully. Because those aspirations will pave the way for causes and conditions through nature's law to help you, to benefit you. And all these are very important and very wholesome. Then after the puja, we pay respect to Triple Gem again. So all of the 10 meritorious actions you will come to fulfill when you attend such activity. After that, we meditate. keeping precept is a meritorious action. Meditation is a meritorious action. Making offering, rejoicing is a meritorious action. Then after that, you listen to the Dhamma sharing under session 2. Then after that, you share merits with all beings and the devas. Then you transfer merits. Then you straighten your view. All these are meritorious action. Then when you help out in kayamita activity, like helping kayamita to organize wholesome activity, to help out in the printing of books, developing of the transcript, then help to provide service in kind, help to organize spiritual trip, help to keep the donation in order, becoming treasurer and other things. All this are very wholesome service that you can provide to the community. Then when you counsel, support, and motivate kayamita to walk the path of Dhamma together, we are understanding and rejoicing. It's also very wholesome. Then the gift of truth to kayamita fund, we make offering, we print Dhamma books, we do a lot of wholesome activity that can benefit living beings. So all these are the causes and conditions that can help kayamita to progress along the path of Dhamma. So this is a very general understanding. Then after that, we have this meditation. So now I will ask them to off the light. For those who know how to meditate, you straight away proceed. Silence your mind, relax, and just maintain awareness. For those who are still new, who need instruction, you should read the blue book. Later on, those who don't have the blue book, you read through them. Understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. It is based on a Thursday class, typical Thursday class transcript of the whole 2.5 hour session. If you read through, you will understand all of the activity that we do and all of the instruction that we give to develop the meditation. So in order to save time, I will not go through it. You will have to read it yourself if you are still not familiar with it and still new. I will just briefly summarize what you're supposed to do. You are here to train your mind to develop the meditative state to meditate so that you can develop the understanding of the teaching, leading to the understanding of life, leading to the understanding of who you are, what you are, so that you will not be deluded by what this formal mind is all about. So the training of the mind to be mindful, to be heedful, is very important. That's why the Buddha said before he passed away, he reminded the monk, he said, Apamadena Sampadita, strive on with heedfulness, do not be heedless. Then the Buddha also explained, the reason why you are not peaceful and you cannot develop the meditation or the meditative mind is because of the mental hindrance. So these 5 mental hindrance, pancha nivarana, they are very powerful. And if you are not trained, if you don't develop the ability to have this spiritual faculty, the 5 spiritual faculty to counter them, you cannot cope with life. You cannot deal with life. The hindrance will make you heedless, because they are called hindrance mainly due to their ability to hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. When you go through the 5 hindrance, you will know why they have such power. A mind that has sensual desire, positive and negative craving, is never peaceful, because it has duality, it will grasp and cling. you will be lost in thought, preoccupied with the sense experience. Then through delusion, wrong view, sakayadhiti, your grasping, cling, hold and give meaning to everything that arises. The phenomenal world is like very real to you. That's my essential desire, and ill will is a very powerful hindrance, and throughout the day living being arise them. Then when you don't see the importance of this meditation, you will become sleepy. That's why the third hindrance is sloth and torpor. Then when you don't keep your precept, when you don't understand life, when you confront the first noble truth, reality, without understanding, you will have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, and all this will make your mind restless, lack of peace, leading to all the various fear, worry, anxiety and negativity of mind states. So all this come about because of heedlessness, delusion. Then the last hindrance is doubt, when you are not sure, when you don't understand the teaching, when you don't develop the spiritual faculty through the puja or through reflection and contemplation on the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. You cannot understand. Then you have doubt. You are not sure. When you have doubt, you lack faith. That's why you have to counter it with faith. Then when the faith brings about clear understanding, then it will drive you to cultivate. Virya will arise. When there is virya, you are not sleepy. Then it will motivate you to cultivate, to develop sati or mindfulness. And when you have sati and mindfulness, you are mindful without thought. Then there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, no restlessness of mind. You become peaceful, quiet. That's how meditation kicks in. So now, you only need to understand, if you still have the hindrance, then you have to learn to decondition this heedless thinking and overcome the hindrance temporarily through mind sweeping method. So you have to do, you do, starting with your forehead, relax body and mind, straighten your backbone, silence everything and just feel your forehead. If there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax, relax and relax them all. Feel them soothingly relax. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel. Don't think. Just feel. Any tension, any stress within or any tightness, relax them all. Then move to your facial muscle. Do the same. Sweep through. Silent and just relax every part of the facial muscle. And in order to help you relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy, there is happiness, then naturally your facial muscle will all relax by itself via the radiant smile. Then you can combine with loving kindness and metta to develop the inner well-being. Mind sweeping metta can bring about inner peace. Then you need love or metta to bring about inner well-being. Then you radiate as follows. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness deep within your mind, each and every cell of your body, entire body and mind. Then you can repeat it one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the deep well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, each and every cell within. Then you continue to read it. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you can repeat this metta to your loved ones, to all kanyamitas, to all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen. Then to all beings throughout the entire Patalingjaya, Subangjaya, Selangor State, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, planet, then all of the galaxy, sorry, solar system first, then galaxy and Milky Way. Then we can read it to all beings throughout the entire existence. Radiating metta. May all beings throughout the entire existence, known and unknown, seen and unseen, all two, be well and happy, well and happy. Free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be free from all negativity, free from all negative tendency. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you silence everything and go back to your facial muscle. Then you feel, relax every part. Then you sweep it down like the usual instruction. Feel your neck, your shoulder, your hand back to shoulder, then your chest, feel silent everything. You can detect any vibration or heartbeat. You just stay there, silent your mind, and let things be. Then the meditation will develop. But if you are new, your mindfulness is not so stable or developed, not refined as yet, you cannot feel your heartbeat or vibration at your heart area, it's okay. You just feel your heart like you feel your forehead, then relax them all. Then you move down to your stomach, abdomen, do the same. Then your leg, buttock, then you reverse the whole cycle. By then you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can continue to train this mind by stabilizing this inner peace and inner well-being. You can do it by anchoring it to your object of meditation. For those who don't have any object of meditation, you can use your breathing. The Buddha called it anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Breathing in, you develop awareness, means the breath and the mind move as one without thought. Breathing out, you are also aware. So you maintain mindfulness in front of your nostril, like you feel your forehead. Now you feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Just feel, silent everything and feel. Then the moment you detect your breath, breathing in, the mind and the breath move as one without thought, in perfect harmony and synchrony. Initially, when you are not skillful, when you are new, the mind tend to wander off very fast. Then you are lost in thought, no longer mindful of the breathing. It's okay. Patiently bring it back. If you are patient to repeat this training, after a while, the mind will settle down. Mindfulness or in and out breath will develop and build up. Then you will experience a type of peace, which they call a meditative calmness or meditative joy. Inner peace. In Pali they call piti. You will experience the mind state of piti, a spiritual rupture or peace within, spiritual calmness born of mindfulness without thought. As you are able to maintain this mindfulness of the in and out breath, piti will develop. Then it will become very, very calm, very clear, then there's a lot of joy, spiritual bliss, spiritual calmness. You continue to relax and silent. You will become more refined and transform into spiritual bliss, which they call sukha. You will experience a very blissful state of mind, very calm, very peaceful, and like long breathing. Then you continue to relax and silence everything. Then, not long, the mind will transform again, become more refined, and become very quiet, very still, and very silent. Then all of your object of meditation, even your breathing, will become very subtle, very still, like no more breathing. During that time, you have progressed well. The silent mind will arise. Then you just silence everything and don't do anything, just silence and feel, just aware. That mind will become very sensitive. That is the meditative mind, the inner peace, the inner silence, the inner stillness, the silent mind, or they call paucity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. So I will allow you to train your mind to develop it until it becomes very stable, very calm, relax and aware within. Then with that mind, you can meditate, you can understand many, many things. You will come to understand who you are, what you are, how you function as a human being. Then you will witness the essential Dhamma of all the teaching that the Buddha has taught you within your forming mind. You will see them all. You will understand how you function as a human being, the mind, through dependent origination, the dwelling, paticca samuppada. Then you also witness the Four Noble Truths, the three evil roots, the five spiritual faculties, the five mental hindrances, the seven factors of enlightenment, and all the other related teaching. Okay, now I will off the mic to let you develop the meditation. I will ring the bell in about 10 minutes time. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who open mouth, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we will continue with our invocation to the Deva. Then the page 6. I will read the English translation. Then after that, we get Sister Ingby to help us chant the Pali. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samantha Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagga Mokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Rahang Samma Sambuddho Vijjacara Manno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko Akaliko Ehi Pasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditato Nohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yatitang Chattari Purisa Yukkane Atha Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anutarang Punyati เตตังโลกัสสาติสาธุสาธุสาธุ give your pure respect to Triple Gem บุตังปเจมิธัมมังปเจมิสังฆังปเจมิโอเค you can be seated huh? Just relax yourself, body and mind. Then maintain some form of attention. Then we can start our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by question and answer Q&A. Okay, now we open it up for everybody. Anybody who wants to report their meditation, you can just raise your hand. Yeah? Or ask any question. Anybody? Again, so quiet. You should try to make full use of this session to develop the understanding of what you are doing. Just now I have explained quite clearly to you the general meaning of what we do here and the purpose. Mainly to train our mind to develop this heedfulness, which is ever mindful of the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. And to be ever mindful, we have to train our mind to be mindful, to be heedful, then stabilize it so that it can be ever mindful. Then when you have stabilized it, you use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. You combine the two. Ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That is heedfulness. You can throughout the day in that state of mind, you are destined for enlightenment, like the Buddha said. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. So that is very clear, Dhammapada verse 21. So the training of the mind to be mindful, to be heedful, is the most important training. The moment you can do that, then you are destined for enlightenment. Not too difficult. Then the other essential Dhamma or related teaching, they are very easy to understand. The moment you have heedfulness, you will understand the spiritual teaching. To be heedful, your spiritual faculty must be stable, strong, until they become balas, unshakable powers. Especially the third spiritual faculty of sati or mindfulness. So you look at the whiteboard. These are the two pair of mind states that the Buddha talked about. The first pair is the spiritual faculty, which is on your right. The five spiritual faculties. They are mind states that allow you to understand spiritual teaching. First one is sadda, which is a Pali word. And the equivalent English word is faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Here faith means spiritual faith, born of understanding, not blind faith. This is born of true understanding. That's why that faith is different, is very stable. It will never break down no matter what happens. It doesn't have to believe anything. It's born of understanding clearly the teaching, the importance of this teaching. this understanding. And understanding life. To understand life, you must understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why it will lead to this clear understanding. That's why your faith in Him is unshakable. You will come to realize He must be the true one. Only the full enlightened Sammasambuddha can have this understanding. Otherwise, it's impossible for any living being in this universe to have that understanding. Then the second spiritual faculty is from your faith. It will drive you to cultivate because you see the importance of this teaching. It is so important because it can make so much a difference to your life. It can transform you from a heedless living being with delusion to become someone so different, to become someone who is very heedful, very mindful, free of suffering. So from a heedless living being into a heedful living being, whose mind state are very beautiful, very peaceful, very calm, full of clarity, inner awareness, and full of understanding. So when you see the importance of this teaching, this spiritual zeal or virya, or spiritual tenacity to walk this way will arise. And it's an energy, it will drive you. Because this is your determination. It's just like when you have passion to do something that you like, that you see the value in it, you will go all out and do it. Yeah. So, sadha leading to virya, that you will cultivate mindfulness, sati, the spiritual faculty. And all of meditation leads to sati. Because sati is the most important. It's the first enlightenment factor. Without sati, you cannot start. Without sati, you cannot be aware. You cannot see your mind. You cannot understand who you are, what you are. You cannot put the teaching to test. You cannot investigate into the Dhamma. So, when sati arises, means the silent mind in awareness, the meditative mind. This one can see things as they are because it's without thought, before the knowing. So when there is sati, you can see things as they are very clearly. Yeah. Then there is no movement of thought. And because of that, it has got no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation. It is just stillness, tranquility of mind. The silent mind. So when you have that understanding, there is no fear, no worry, no sorrow, no lamentation, nothing. There is only clarity, peacefulness, silentness, stillness of mind. So when you are mindful without thought, that state is beautiful. You are not lost in thought. You are not preoccupied with your fear, worry, anxiety, your sorrow and your lamentation. You are just silent and still. Then there is no egoic mind inside there to condition you, to stir you and to disturb you. That's why there is the experiencing of clarity, deep inner peace, inner stillness and silence. And that nature, the eternal mind, which is the unborn, is ever mindful, just aware. That is your essence of mind, your inner nature, your true nature, your original nature. Originally, that was what you are. They call it the source, oneness. From there, you will start to understand all this spiritual faculty. Because this spiritual faculty are mind state that can lead you to the true mind, to develop the clear understanding. So when sati is developed through the meditation, you have to stabilize it until it becomes samadhi. until it is very stable, collected, and unwavering. Means at the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile feel, or when you recall or think of something. This mind is different because it's collected, unwavering. That's why it does not stir, it does not react, it does not become emotional. It does not project and do all this funny thing. So samadhi can make you very, very peaceful, very settled, very still. Then you have to develop wisdom out of it. When there is sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are. You see the truth and the reality. Not what your mind tells you, not what your memory tells you, not what your conditioning tells you. Then when you see things as they are, there is no word, no concept, no labeling, no thought. It just understand. And because it has this special energy that can awaken the truth to all of phenomena, then you can insight into their characteristics of nature. And each and every phenomenon in this world, the Buddha said, they exhibit the same characteristic, the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering, non-self, and empty nature. In Pali, they call anicchang, dukkang, anatta. When you insight into that, your mind is no longer deluded. Then it understands all of phenomena is condition arising, cause of phenomena, come and go, impermanent. Following nature's law. If you want things your way, suffering will arise. That's why it becomes very clear. Then all of mind state, the Buddha said, sabbe sankara is all of your mind state, thinking, activity, planning, scheming. They are impermanent, the Buddha said. And because they are impermanent, when you grasp and cling one thing your way, it leads to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, grasp onto, cling onto, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore, all this can be mine. The Buddha said, there is no such thing. That is a delusion. So these spiritual faculties are very important. When sati and samadhi is there, you can see things as they are, you will understand the truth, the reality. Then you will insight into the characteristic. That's how you develop wisdom, the last spiritual faculty. Then you are no longer deluded. And the spiritual faculty counters the hindrance. The first one is faith. When you have faith, your mind is very calm, very composed. You are very confident. There is no fear, no doubt. So it will overcome fear. It will overcome doubt. It will overcome restlessness. Because the mind that has faith is very calm, very composed. Then when there is virya, spiritual zeal, this energy will make you no longer sleepy. Your mind will not have this sloth and torpor, or lethargic mind, or sleepiness, sleepy mind. Just like when you attend a class or a lecture, either subject you don't like, you will feel very sleepy, you will feel very tired. But when you see the importance of that subject and you like that subject, you will listen attentively. The attentiveness is sati, mindfulness, awareness. And the virya is the passion that drives you to listen, to be attentive. Then when you develop sati, mindfulness, there is no thought. No thought means no reaction. There is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no like and dislike, nothing. That's the essential desire you will cease to be. Then when there is samadhi, your mind is unwavering. Again, it does not stir like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant experience, positive and negative craving. They cannot arise. Then when there is wisdom, it's not deluded by all this. Your mind will not do all this funny thing. That's why there is no mental hindrance. The enlightened one don't have this. All these five cease to be. So, the mind state of the enlightened one is so beautiful. Their mind is always peaceful, no restlessness, no panic attack. no fear, no worry, no insecurity and doubt. It's so stable. Then you will not have this lethargic mind state. If you want to rest, you will just rest. You will rest with full awareness within. And sometimes he can just allow the body to sleep. The awareness is still there. Then after that, the mind that understands will not stir and react to sense experience. It can live life. It can experience life. But it's not deluded by whatever that arises. So this is how the teaching is to be understood. Then the most important, here I put the word most important, training is to develop apamada, which the Buddha's advice to all the monks before he died, is it strive on with heedfulness, apamadena sampadeta. So this apamadena or apamada is heedfulness. Heedfulness got two parts. First, ever mindful, then to cultivate noble eightfold path. So ever mindful, you start with training your mind to be mindful, which is sati. Then stabilize it to become samadhi. Then the four important support for awareness-based meditation. These four are very important. The first support is relax into all mind state that arise, so that you don't go into energy field, so that you don't go and focus and concentrate. You can develop the calmness, the mindfulness, the awareness, and be with the moment. That is the true samadhi. So relax into every mind state that arise, no matter what mind state. Those who do energy field, psychic field, they have tendency to focus and concentrate. That's why when you do that, it becomes samatha meditation. It's no longer mindfulness meditation. The mind become conditioned into energy field. Then after you relax, the energy will not build up. It will stabilize. Then the mind is like a free mind. It can still be aware. It can still understand what is going on. It's just silent. And from that nature, everything that arises, it will be aware. That's why you will see clearly that the mind, the consciousness and its content, which is the thought, they are conditioned arising. Your anger, your hatred, your fear, your worry, anxiety, all these are conditioned arising mind state within your true mind. They are not intrinsic. It was never there. It arises later through your wrong view, your delusion, your conditioning. So all this, as you develop this meditative training, you will start to understand clearly. After relax, you just silence your mind and maintain awareness. This maintain is very important. Maintain means develop the 24-hour awareness, heedfulness, including the conscious and unconscious. Initially, is in your daily life within the conscious moment. Then later on, you can be aware even when you fall asleep. The body rests, but the mind, the nature, the awareness is there. You can hear your own snoring and all those things. Then how the dream, the subconscious and unconscious release, how it come out. Your awareness can be with it. And you understand clearly. Then you understand why Krishnamurti can have that understanding. That thought is respond to memory. Thought and the thinker is the one, same. It's not separate. There is no observer and the observer. The observer and the observer is one. There is no you inside there. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. Only the consciousness arises. There is no one to see. Just like this physics experiment. You have a battery, a light bulb, and a switch. So this light bulb is like your organ. Let's say your eye as an organ. And this battery, because it has electricity is like current, or consciousness, which is the mind energy field. So upon contact, this current goes through the light bulb lights up. It is a natural process, nature's law. You don't need a God to create this light, understand? So similarly, upon contact of your eye, which is your organ of seeing, with the external sense data, which is color, shape, and form, then you become conscious of what you see. That's why you can become conscious of the seeing. That's what seeing consciousness is all about. But when it becomes conscious, it's not a being inside there that sees. It's not a soul that is responsible for the seeing. It's nature's law. That's why, like the light bulb, it lights up. The seeing consciousness just arrives. That's why in the seeing, it's just a seeing consciousness, no one to see. But through delusion, we have such strong conditioning. We believe this is the human being, is what we are. And we identify it since birth. We are given a name, an identity, a birth certificate, then later a name. Then we again identify through the physical, based on your color of your skin. You say you're Chinese, you're Indian, you're Negro, you're black or you're white and all those things. Then through your religious belief, you identify again, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Christian, I'm a Hindu or a Muslim. Then you identify through the physical, male and female. Then you create division through words like religion, race, nationality. Then it starts to divide. And division creates conflict, creates war, creates misunderstanding, creates selfishness, creates ego. Then argument starts, wanting to be right. So all this come about through thought, that create through words. That's why you must see clearly the limitation of thought, the power of thought to divide through words, through concept, through ideology, through belief system, religious label. Then the moment it divides, you are like different, separated. That's why a lot of suffering comes about from there. But if there is no division, if all of humanity is one, if all of beings are one, then there is no more problem. Because if we know how to develop the meditation to see clearly, to see beyond this physical form, then a lot of these divisions cease to be. The identification through this physical body, which is the physical form, will cease to be male, female, Chinese or whatever. More. Then when you see beyond this form, what do you see? You see the mind. So mind is just mind. Everyone is the same. No male, no female. No color, nothing. But then mind, through its conditioning, through its delusion, can also have different views and opinion, belief system. That's how it divides again. So the Buddha knew the physical body was never you. That consciousness, the condition arising mind, that hold on to the belief system with the bundle of memory, that condition you into what you are, also not you, because it comes about through conditioning. Then when you try to see beyond mind, which is what the meditation is all about, you silence everything without thought, then you see beyond thought, beyond mind. Then you see truth, you see the reality, you see the inner nature, you see your true nature, you see your oneness nature, your eternal life, the unborn. That one, everyone is the same. That's why we belong to the oneness, the source. And when you have that understanding, you cease to divide. Then you are at peace. Then there is only love. Then you come to understand one is all. All is one. Meaning is very deep. One is all. All is one. Anybody understand this? You try to explain if you can. I explained before a few times already. What is the meaning of one is all is one? Anybody want to try? Nobody? Okay, I explain one more time. So hopefully you all can recall, then record it. Means nobody heard. You see, in this universe, that's why when you understand this very deep principle of life, you will never dare to harm anybody or do any wrong thing. Because we are all part of nature. One is all is one. Do you know you are what you are because of what the universe is? Understand that? Means because of all these beings that existed. The condition like that, then you become like that. Understand that? And you may think you are very insignificant. Understand that? Like a nobody. Like we used to contemplate in this planet, our Mother Earth. We are only one of the 6 over to 7 billion living beings. Oh, sorry, human beings. Then there are countless living beings. Then our planet is only one of the miserable planet within this solar system. And our Milky Way have billions and billions of stars that are equivalent to our sun or bigger. That's why the planets are countless. Like the Buddha said, the number of sun or stars in the sky, they are more than the sand on the Ganges River. You know the Ganges River, how long, how much sand is there. There are more stars than the sand. Then when you understand that, you ask yourself, if this universe without you, evolving over the eons and eons of birth and death, although you're very insignificant, understand? The universe is not what it is today, understand? Understand? That's why without each and every one of you, the universe is not what it is today. Because of you, the universe is what it is today. So you are rich because of the poor. Understand? You cannot have everybody rich and wealthy. That's why they ask the question, wow, become monk, no need to work. People support you, make offering to you. So they went and asked Ramananda, what happened to the world if everybody renounce and become monk? Good question. Then who is going to support all those monks? Then Ramananda answered very well. He said, you think so easy to ask people to shave bald. I tell you, he said 90% will run away. Correct? Shave bald or renounce. Then become a monk, don't own anything, renounce everything. Then walk alone, waiting for people to support you. So condition is such in this world, it is very few that can really renounce the world. But the problem is those who are sincere and truly renounce the world, they are the very rare one. But there are many who are not so sincere, understand? So it depends. Even like any profession, there are black sheep within the profession. But if you are sincere, true to yourself, then you are very unique, you are beautiful. Then this whole universe is governed by nature's law. That's why those who understand this law that governs life and existence, they will have the wisdom to live life, to understand life. Then they become beautiful. Then they will stand out. Then the understanding will free their mind, liberate their mind. That's why they can come to this world with a beautiful form of mind, because they understand, they have cultivated the karmic nature, the spiritual nature, so that when they come, they inherit beautiful form of mind. Then this form of mind connect early. Then with their understanding, they live the life of a noble one, enlightened one. No more suffering. Full of understanding, full of peace, full of inner joy, inner peace, inner well-being and inner understanding. Then everything like very beautiful, very meaningful. There is nothing in this world that can make them unhappy and miserable. There is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, and no lament. No matter what happens, even going through disease, spending death or what, their mind state are so different, so clear, so beautiful. Such is the great power of this teaching, this Dhamma. Then when you start to understand the nature's law, you realize each and every one of us, we are born of karma, head of karma, conditions supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. Then whatever you do, there are causes and conditions behind, cause and effect. The moral causation is the most powerful law of karma. The Buddha said, all living beings, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. If you understand this right view, this great law, what must you do? Huh? Your life depends so much on karma, almost entirely, 99.999%. So what must you do? Take care of karma. That's how the teaching starts. That's why the Buddha said, from this right view, he came out with his teaching. The first most important teaching is Dhammapada verse 183, the advice of all Buddha. He said, all Buddha, when they arise, they will tell you the same advice. He said, Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasambadan. Sachitta pariyottapanang etang buddhana sasana. The meaning is it, sabbe is all, papasa evil. All evil you must avoid. This is for your good. Because karma, law karma. If you don't avoid all evil, negative karma will hit you. And in future, when condition arise, you have to pay back. You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil, because you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So first thing first is it, all evil you must avoid. Not only avoid evil, all. Otherwise you pay miserably. Yeah. Then when you understand that, what must you do? The Buddha say how to avoid evil. How do I avoid evil? Keep your precept. But how to keep your precept when you don't know what is evil? Understand? That's why keeping your precept is right. You have to reflect and contemplate. Why the Buddha say keep this precept? Why not other precept? The first precept is what? We undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. Who are the people who kill and cause harm to fellow living beings? Deluded one. Violent one. Those that have anger, emotion, jealousy, hatred and all those things. Then the other category is a selfish one. Got motive one. That's why they want to take revenge. Or business rival. They will kill. They will harm. So you will come to realize that people who violate this precept, they are evil people with the evil roots of greed or selfishness, hatred, anger, or emotional negativity, or envy and jealousy, and delusion. The three evil roots are there. That's why they are called evil roots, because they are roots of all evil. That's how the teaching come about. So you have to understand what constitutes evil. Then only you can keep your precept. The Buddha said these three evil roots, greed, hatred, and delusion, you must understand them. What constitutes greed? Not just greedy. Greedy is only one of the evil roots of greed. All of your selfishness, your possessiveness, your lust, your craving, your desire. whatever you attach to, hold on to, cling on to, these are all your greed. Your light, your pleasant sense experience that you crave for, cling on to, these are all greed. That's why selfishness is a very powerful greed. When you are selfish, you cannot see. You only think of yourself, you never think of others. Whatever you do is based on advantage, for me or not for me. If it has nothing to do with my family, my business, my career, or benefit my race, or my political party. That's why that I, the me, the selfishness, just like American foreign policy, American first, there is selfishness. So if it's not for you, you will never do. That's why everything is motivated by selfishness, by gain, advantage. That's why selfishness is very difficult to see, and it comes from the ego. When you are deluded, when you believe this is you, then you will have the three evil roots. Why? Because the moment you are born, they give you a name, identify you, give you birth cert, give you IC, give you passport. Then you are conditioned into believing this is you. They identify you through your physical, your religious belief, your religious label. Then they give you name, race, religion, and all those things. Then nationality. Then after they identify you, you go to school, you are being conditioned again. Then when you don't understand, the teacher say, go back and think about it. That's how you think a lot. You become very heedless. Then that thinking is always egoic, because you always have this belief that there is a being inside I. That's why with the name, with the identity. Then you say, I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I tactile feeling thing. Then you think there is a being inside there, a thinker behind the thought. A being who can become emotional, who can become jealous, angry, possessive. That's how the evil root come about. Then when you think you exist, you want to own things. You want to possess things, you want to have things. And this bring about craving, desire, then selfishness. That's how the evil root starts to set in. The conditioning starts. Then your belief system, your views, your opinion are all centered on selfishness. Then you think you are real. That's why when things don't go your way, you get angry, you become emotional. And the evil root of hatred, anger, dislike, envy, jealousy, all start to surface. Then delusion is not understanding the truth, not understanding who are you, what are you. You become gullible. You are deluded. And because you are deluded, you cannot understand there is fear, there is doubt, there is insecurity. And fear is the worst enemy of delusion. When you have fear, you lack faith and spiritual understanding. That's why that one can burn you out, can cripple the living being. So when you understand this nature's law, then you will not violate them. Because whatever goes round, come back to you. You reap what you sow. Do good, begets good. Do evil, begets evil. Then in Mandarin is even more precise. 种因结果. You know what is that or not? If you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. You plant the seed of virtue or wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of virtue or wholesomeness. So you plant the condition, you will receive the fruition. So plant the appropriate condition. That's why one of my teacher, Xuan Hua Sangren, Master Xuan Hua, he used to say, 众生千万小心, because he said when you understand this law of karma, you have to be very careful with a living being. 千万不要种错因结错果. You understand? Huh? He said, please, don't ever plant the wrong seed and reap the wrong fruit. That's why you must train your mind to have mindfulness, to have heedfulness, to see your mental intention. If there is any of this selfishness, greediness, covetousness, craving, desire, emotional negativity, envy and jealousy, these are evil rooted out. Otherwise, it will make you very evil. You become an evil person and karmically you will fall. Then you don't blame anybody for your life, for what happened to you in your life. Because you created it through karma. That's why the Buddha says, we are all born of karma, head of karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and you are what you are, we call it karma. All of your wholesome things, your good life, they also come through karma. But most people have a mixture of good and bad. And most people without understanding, without this Dhamma understanding or wisdom, as you grow old, as you go through life, when you confront the First Noble Truth reality, you will be afflicted, you will become miserable. That's why the Buddha said the First Noble Truth of dukkha, suffering, is very real. Is it? When you confront this reality without understanding, you will become afflicted. So, prevalence of suffering, the Buddha said, suffering is everywhere because of this Noble Truth. So if you don't make haste in developing this understanding of his teaching, when you confront them without this understanding, you will get yourself entangled. You will be afflicted. You will become miserable. So this teaching is so beautiful. Then when you understand, everything is interconnected. That's why some teacher or master, they teach interdependent. They call inter what? Interbeing. All are connected. Interbeing. So without you, the universe is not what it is today. Without the universe, what it is today, you don't exist. It's as simple as that. That's why one is all. All is one. If you destroy nature, nature will destroy you. Why? Because you are part of nature. Understand? If you pollute the world, end of the day, you will also die with it. Because there is no two way. If you harm anybody, you harm your nature. You harm the oneness nature. That's why your karma will fall. So Mahayana come out with a very good teaching. He warned the cultivator, you cannot offend any living being, is it? You know why or not? You cannot offend any living being. Why? Oh, because each and every one of you is a future Buddha. Future Buddha means what? You offend a future Sammasambuddha, you dare to do that. That's why they take it very seriously, because everyone has the potential to become a Sammasambuddha. So you offend any of this living being, you are offending a future Buddha. They took it to heart, to this level. That's why they cannot do. No matter what happened, they will accept them for what they are. They will forgive them. Then they will know how to accord and flow and just continue with life because no reality. So this teaching is very unique, very powerful, very different. It can bring about great transformation in living being, character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise. And one can become so beautiful after you develop that understanding. Without that understanding, the hindrances are there. The evil roots are there. The delusion are there. You become a horrible living being, terrible living being. Not only you suffer, you cause so much nonsense to the universe, the planet. You pollute the consciousness. You create so much negativity. You harm yourself. You hurt yourself. You hit out at others, harm others. And your fear, your delusion, your hindrance, your evil root, you keep on polluting the consciousness of this planet. That's why summation of all living beings, consciousness, is the planetary consciousness. If you want to change the world, you must change the individual. If the individual is not changed, no use. All those materialistic concepts and ideas of change is not going to work. They are based on the human greed, human thought, human thinking, human idea and concept of peace. So like they say, you go to the United Nations when you talk peace, there's many versions of peace. America will tell you, American interest first. You can fulfill this, then we talk, there is peace. So peace according to them. So if you are weak, you got no say. That's why they got five special veto power given to the five powerful nations. They have this power to veto when they don't agree. So it's very difficult for United Nations to function when you have this type of powerful nation dictating the terms and conditions. That's why there must be understanding, there must be no more of this delusion to divide humanity into all the various religion and race. And you realize or not, all of the war and conflict and chaos come about through what? Through religion, mainly. Race, nationality. So without all this, when they can see beyond form, see beyond the mind, then all of humanity is one. Then there is only love. There is no division. There is he know you, he know me. We work for the common benefit of the human race. Then we take care of nature. Nature take care of the human race. And all the other living beings, they will also benefit. That's why you will evolve. That's why Amitabha, that Buddha, is very wise. He make vow that are so heavy. He vow to have pure land. You know what is pure land, right? World system, like our planet, or certain world system, that don't have the four woeful state. That world system don't have hell being. Don't have hungry ghosts, pita. Don't have animals. Then they also don't have demons. Minimum five precepts and above, human being and above. When he make it into a vow that come true. That's why I say his vow is very, very heavy. If he also can fulfill and become Samasambuddha, whatever bodhisattva vow that you take is chicken feet compared to him. That's why it's very easy, not difficult. If he can do it, nobody can miss it. Because his one is extraordinarily difficult, and yet he persevered. That's why he took the longest. He took 12 world cycle, aeons and aeons and aeons, to perfect that Samasambuddhahood. That's why Amitabha is very unique. Amitabha. Oh, 10:05. You still got 25 minutes. Okay, now I open up. Any question? Or anybody want to? Give to Pang.
Yeah, good evening to all. Hello, Brother Teo. At every sense experience, at the point of contact, consciousness immediately arises. And not only that, I can see that even the mental hindrances also arise almost instantly. Like, dislike, pleasurable, unpleasurable. So at that point, my question is, am I being mindful, or is this just my thought?
Very good question. That's what cultivation is all about. When you don't go into it, you cannot ask this type of question. Yeah, he has developed the faith, the diligence, the cultivation. That's why Brother Pang, he actually has this ability to ask this question. Because he said when we are mindful, when we are aware, especially daily mindfulness, then you can see how dependent origination arise and pass away, how upon contact consciousness come to be. then the content of consciousness went in. And because of your wrong view, you immediately stir, react. That's how you can see the hindrance, your like and dislike and all those things. So your question is it awareness or just your thought? You have to ask yourself. When you are with it, that's why I say, the one who meditate and the one who don't meditate use thought based one. They got a lot of idea, concept, knowledge. They are never with it. That's why I say when you have anger, emotion, fear, silence everything and stay with that thing. That is awareness. When you silence and be with it without thought, you find out what happened. It will cease to be. But when you go and think about it, then it's your thought. So, your anger. I shouldn't have anger. I can see my anger. That is the thought telling you, you can see. But when you are with the anger, there is no word. Anasana. Because the anger is an emotion that stirs. Next time you get angry, you find out. Or next time when there is fear, you find out where is it. It's always at the heart. Then you silent and be with it. That is a very good meditation. That is what the Buddha meant by the third way. The third way is to overcome unwholesome thought. First is think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Then think of the consequent or danger of holding on to those wrong thought, negative thought, evil thought, because they are the root of all evil. The third way is just silence your mind and just aware. Then everything will return to its original state. The true mind before is stirring. Then you realize that emotion, the anger or the fear is a conditioned arising state. Like the teaching said, Krishnamurti described it very well. Is it the very flowering of this emotion or this thought or this fear is the very ending of it. Allow it to flower, just like the flower. When it reaches the end of flowering, it cannot flower anymore because there's no more energy. As a thought is the same. When that fear got no more movement, because you don't feed it with any more mental energy. That's why meditation can help you. You stay with it. The fear, the panic attack, or the anger, or the hatred, the emotion, it will cease to be. Then you realize, these are impermanent, not me. It has got no power over me. It has only power when the mind is deluded, when the mind projects and develops more fear. But when you silent and stay, that is what awareness is all about. Then you understand. When you don't feed it with any more delusion, any more mental energy, any more thought energy, it will cease to be. Then when it ceases to be, you become so peaceful, so beautiful. Means you return to your original state before stirring. Your original state, your true mind is peace. Like what I wrote here. Without thought, there is peace, there is silence, there is internal tranquility and stillness, there is clarity. It's only when the thought come in, project and stir through your wrong view, then you become fearful, you become emotional. This is what meditation is all about. So your question is self-answered when you understand. Because when you try to deal at the thought level, the question will arise. But the moment you do it with understanding, the question ceases to be. Now you understand. Now you will know how to do. Because just stay with it. At the moment of sensation, that's why I say you have to be very quiet, very still. Don't try to know. Don't try to even come up with any idea or concept. Oh, I can see this. I can be aware of this. I can be what? All this, who is telling you? The thought. That's why when you are in a meditation, don't try to know, just silent. And within the silent, you will understand. Because it's from the silent that wisdom arises, just like what Krishnamurti explained. Without silent, without stillness, nothing arises. You remember the analogy that Krishnamurti gave? Very good. He said, the guitar string or the drum. Before you strike it, before you play it, still, understand or silent. But the moment you stir it, hit it, or pluck it, like the guitar string, then vibration came out, understand or? Your mind is the same. Before the stirring, it is the true mind, still, silent. But the moment through wrong view, through fear, worry, anxiety, and delusion, you stir and react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, and what you tactile feel and think, that's where the problem is. Then all of these vibrations, sound, all give meaning. Then it will trigger off and make you miserable. Understand? Then these are all conditioned arising state. It's not intrinsic. When you don't have delusion, all these are nature's phenomena. They arise and they pass away. You are just an observer without the true observer. Means the neuronal experiencing the phenomenal world. The oneness nature which carries the phenomenal world. That's why the phenomenal world is within the neuronal. Your true nature is that neuronal, no movement. There is nobody inside there. It's just the oneness, the essence of mind, the pure awareness, the stillness, the silence, before the knowing, before the words and the concept. That is your true nature, your true mind. That's why stay there. Meditate until you are ever mindful. Constantly be with that nature. Then there is no thought. Then thought become your tool. You use it. Then you know how to use, because you know there is another nature inside there, which has the understanding and the wisdom. So the user of thought is very important. If the user of thought is not deluded, then thought become right thought. That's why your thought will all become very wholesome, born of right view. Bring about harmony, bring about peace, love, gentleness, pleasantness, gratitude, respect, joy and happiness, peacefulness, tranquility, stillness. No more of those emotional negativity, selfishness, fear, worry, anxiety. Those are all wrong thoughts. And what are wrong thoughts? Thoughts that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and your lamentation, your evil roots, your hindrance. These are wrong thoughts. If they are wrong thoughts that make you evil and miserable and heedless, then why go and think? That's why Sabha Asavasata, knowing and seeing the orange book. The Buddha said, when you pay attention in life, things that are unfit for attention, don't pay attention. What are the things that are unfit for attention? When you pay attention, more and more of the evil root will arise. The unarisen wrong thought, they will arise. Or evil thought, or defilement, unarisen one will arise. The arisen one will become more and more. That's why these are things that are unfit for attention. Means all those that bring about the hindrance, the evil roots, the fear, worry, and anxiety, your suffering, your affliction, your doubt. Why you want to dwell on it? Why you want to pay attention? Then he explained, what are the things that you should pay attention? Four noble truth, nothing else. Four noble truth means what? The secret of life. You understand what life is. First noble truth tell you the noble truth of suffering. What constitutes suffering? The eight conditions that can bring about suffering. The reality of life and existence. Each and every living being, is that you live long enough, you will confront them. And when you confront them without understanding, suffering will be the result. Definitely, you see. That's why this is the noble truth. Nobody can escape. That's why when you reflect and contemplate, then it will take you to the five daily contemplation. You will start to develop wisdom through understanding the body. This body of mine is of the nature to grow old, for it has not gone beyond old age. This body of mine is of the nature to get sick or be diseased when the condition is not right. for he has not gone beyond disease and sickness. Where disease element, not me, go the way of nature. That's why he is subject to old age, sickness, and death. That's why the third contemplation is this body of ours of the nature to die. Where this is a condition arising entity. When consciousness separate, you call death. Actually, no one die. Nothing die. So when you understand this, you don't worry about this body getting old, getting sick and die. Because you know this is not me. These are elements. Go the way of nature. Consciousness, which is the thought, the mind, is condition arising. They arise and pass away. My feeling arise and pass away. Perception arise and pass away. My thought arise and pass away. Consciousness arise and pass away. But I didn't die. Therefore, feeling is never me. Emotion is never me. Fear is never me. Anger is never me. Thinking, thought is never me. Perception is never me. Consciousness is never me. But when they pass away, I didn't die. So how can it be me? But if they are not me, how come they arise in me? That is meditation. That's why you're silent and you understand that they are not real. Condition arising, causal phenomena like the physical experiment. Upon contact, naturally, the light bulb light out and you become conscious. And there is nobody inside there to become conscious. The form and mind become conscious. But the form and mind is not you. But the thought deludedly lash and associate with the seeing. Then the egoic mind, the entity, the delusion condition you to react because you think you are real. That's why you have fear. When you attach to this body, you worry about you getting old, getting sick and die. True or not? Because you think it's you. That's why you become miserable. But when you understand that it's just a body like your car, need to check with a good mechanic. Look for a good mechanic, service it. And then, of course, the car is easier. If anything go wrong, they can change the part. But your physical body, not every part can be changed. So, in a way, it's slightly different. But more or less, it's the same. Because like a car, this body take you around. That's why this is your vehicle, the functional body that performs the function of a human being when you are here, the segmented life. Then like the car, beyond economical repair, you change to a new car. Why you go and burden yourself with that old junk that breaks down so often and give you so much problem? That's why when it's time to let go of the car, change over to a new car, do it. But you make sure you have money so that you can buy a proper car. Money in the spiritual world means what? Your merits, your blessing, your cultivation. These are your spiritual money. So if you don't have, means what? You don't have a choice. No? There is no car for you. No? Karma design, no? Old junk also you have to drive. No? Then sometimes, old junk also don't have. No? He give you a Volkswagen. The two legs got to walk. Then DNA coded in a very bad way, you know. Born already got problem, deformed and all those things. Or with all the coding, very easily get sick and cancer and all those things. Because of karma, coming. That's why take care of karma. Karma take care of you. Then you will understand and you will know how to use. Then you reflect the fourth contemplation, the Buddha said. Whatever that you think you own, your loved one, your possession, your property, your wealth, your business and all those things, whatever that you hold on to dearly, they are condition arising, impermanent. It don't belong to you at all. When conditions cease to be, they are separate from you, it will cease to be. Otherwise, when your breath stop, your identity erased, they also separate from you. Technically, when you yourself don't exist, how can that condition arising entity own anything? That's why the famous Chinese saying, La ye kong, qi ye kong, na mo si zu he bi ku ku wei kong liu lei. Correct or not? When you are born into this world, you come with nothing. Correct or not? Then when you pass away, can you take along anything? You go with nothing again. Then in between, you toy and grieve over what? Emptiness. Thinking that they are real and you own them all. That's why you become miserable through that delusion. So when you understand that, your mind is very different. Then you understand this is for you to use. Use it. It will serve you well. You take care of it. But when it's time to allow it to be, do not worry, do not grieve over it. Like the Buddha said, no amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead, because that is the form and mind die. Your nature never dies. Your nature was never born, eternal life. How can it die? That's why you must connect and realize that. Then you understand everything. The whole of life, the whole of creation, the whole of the conditioned and the unconditioned. And then you become beautiful. That form and mind become beautiful. And that one can live life. Then there is such thing as life, even though it's impermanent within the moment. But there is such thing as life. And all these are in the Sanskrit. Read that green book. Then the seminal paper, the orange book, Sapa Asava Sutta. Then the Heart Sutta has everything, the short notes. So you got more than enough Dhamma. It's only now your last part, cultivation. Strive on with heedfulness. That's why Padmasuri created this for you. This is very good. Sunday, we are going to sing this song. We should thank Padmasuri and Brother Tio. Then the title is very interesting. Pei Ni Tao Tian Ya. In Mandarin, those who understand. We translate it as follow you to roam the universe. This one is very good. This one is about the student and the teacher. Then he said, in the past, you and I roam and wander in the human realm, carefree and without worry. But the song is very nice. Then he said, teacher and student with heart resolute. No matter how many times we experience the up and down and changes of life, the heart remains resolute to cultivate this way and understanding. Then even in dreams, we vow to sincerely tread the path together. Means you are not heedless. Even in your unconscious and subconscious dream state, you still hold on to the vow. Then scores are forgotten. Karmic condition paved away, and we meet again with smile because you have the Dhamma already. That's why as Kayamita you meet with joy. That's why gathering of Kayamita this Sunday very meaningful. You come and you have joy. Everybody is so cheerful, so sincere, so caring, sincere, and the faith is very strong. Then he said, with flower fading and blooming, the Mandarin word better, hua lo yu hua kai. So with flower blooming and fading, because the other way around, then through the seasons, we accompany each other happily with open heart. He said, do you know, today I have come to meet you again. Then after that he said, karmic affinity and condition have long ago arranged for us to meet again in this samsara. Means because of your affinity, your vow, the condition. And through countless world cycles of suffering, let us not forget our vow in front of the Buddhas. We are one as the tree and the roots. The Mandarin one sound better. 我们树连根, we are one as the tree and the roots. No matter how much challenges and difficulty we will face, we will stay as one, unshakable. Repeated birth in samsara, we went through all kinds of challenges, and we are never afraid of suffering and dukkha. We will confront them with understanding. Then countless stars in the horizon, you and I will always be among the stars. Shining bright, every life we come without regressing from the Bodhi mind. Means you never turn back. Yeah. So that's the song. Yeah. But in Mandarin it's very meaningful. And the music is very good. Yeah. You should thank Tamasuri and their husband. Then at the back here, he quoted this saying which I always say. Moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? Then he have to give you answer. He says, drive on with heedfulness. Then he draw the lotus down there for you to become enlightened. See? Where to find? Sashkayamita. The lotus down there. When you strive on with heedfulness, the lotus bloom. That's why the Buddha say very simple to become enlightened. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Spiritually, you are destined for enlightenment. So, not too difficult. Does that answer your question? Sadhu. You should thank Brother Pang. That's why those who cultivate, they got good question. And it arises a condition for this nature to explain. Otherwise, you keep quiet, I keep quiet. Nobody benefit. Yes. Oh, yeah, can. Yes.
Sati sampajana, right? Daily mindfulness.
Yes.
Be accompanied by external feeling of awareness.
Okay, I think I
because,
know. I know what you are.
Sometimes what I experience is you are aware that you are doing, then when the thought comes, that how come I didn't feel, then everything loan already.
you know what happened.
There's no trust.
No. That's why you have to listen. Luckily you ask. Otherwise you will be doing that for life after life and you never break through. Sati sampajana is not what you do. What you do is not sati sampajana. What you do is you try to practice sati sampajana using your thought. That's why you got a lot of questions. Must it be accomplished by feeling and all those things about the external? What is sati sampajana? Mindfulness and clear comprehension. What are the four types of clear comprehension? You cannot remember this four type of clear comprehension, then you cannot practice sati sampajana. Because sati sampajana is about sati. Then sampajana is clearly comprehending your cultivation of sati. Why do you cultivate sati? There is only this four aspect of sampajana. Clear comprehension of what? Sincerity of purpose. The first one means you are very sincere because this is the most important mind state, spiritual faculty, sati, I must develop. If I develop it and it is so stable, it becomes heedful, I'm home. That's it. That's why sincerity of practice means you don't deviate from this cultivation. You don't go into energy field. That's all. You don't go and cultivate to develop psychic and to create your egoic mind. Oh, I can do this. I can see light. I can levitate. I can go through water. I can go through wall. What for? When you confront the first noble truth reality, you still cannot go. All this got no meaning. Psychic is not the actual intent. Without wisdom, you fail miserably in life. That's why to live life, you must have wisdom to understand life. So clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose is very important. I am very sincere. That's why the path is there. Then if I am sincere, the faith will come, understand or not? Then I don't waver, I don't have doubt. Then I focus on the spiritual faculty, I focus on the sati, I stabilize it. Then the moment I am heedful, I am home. Destined for enlightenment. Then I have to reverse all this way of living life. I do not want to go back to the old way, which is heedless, hardly aware, not mindful of what is going on. Whole day, only worrying about life, never live life. That's not. Worry about this, worry about that, complain about this, complain about that. You know what human beings are worried most? They worry about their own health as they grow old. Then they worry about their business, their career, their life, their loved ones, their possession. Then their relationship with people. Then not only that, later on, they not only worry about their children, their wife, they worry about their grandchildren. Then they worry about their property, their wealth, their so-called wealth that they want to hand over. Then they worry about death. They don't know who they are, what they are, who died, what died, after death, what happened. They fear death. So everything has this fear behind. That's why they don't have the understanding of life. Without the Dhamma, you have so much problem. You worry about so many things. So sati sampajana is clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose. It means you are very focused. When I am heedful, I will understand all this, the whole teaching, the essential Dhamma. Then I will get no more doubt. Then my spiritual faculty will be there. Then I will have clarity. I will insight in the phenomena. I will awaken and I will understand. My mind liberated. Then second one is what? Clear comprehension of what? Yeah? What is it? Domain of meditation. You know what is domain of meditation? Means anywhere, anytime, as meditation is life itself, understand not? Means you can meditate anywhere, anytime, any place, in any posture, understand not? You don't be gullible and deluded, say, "Ah, oh, I got no time lah, I wait for me to retire lah, then only I go full time lah." Who is telling you all this? Your thought, understand not? Your thought that is lazy, that is not committed, that don't have the faith, that don't have the virya. This one is telling you. That's why you will procrastinate and delay. This place is too noisy, I cannot meditate. I must go to temple, I must go to retreat, I must go to a quiet place. If you don't understand domain of meditation, you will have this type of wrong thought. But when you understand the domain of meditation, you don't have to retire. In the midst of life, you can meditate. Anywhere you can meditate. Like my teacher used to tell me, in the midst of activity, there can be stillness. In the midst of sound, there can be silence. It's all inside. My teacher used to tell me, if you're inside your mind, your heedfulness, your mindfulness, your inner nature, if inside okay, outside no problem. If inside not okay, you got wrong view, delusion, fear, worry, anxiety, then outside big problem. That's why you train your mind to take care of inside, develop the wisdom through heedfulness. So clear comprehension of domain of meditation will keep you focused in cultivation. It means no excuse. Everything you do, even answer nature's call is meditation. Then you will know how to develop meditation. Kaya Anupassana, the first foundation. Body and mind as one. Don't try to know. Why do you want to know? Must I do this? Must I do that? This is thought meditating. I just maintain awareness. And when I maintain awareness, this mindfulness will become so stable that all of a sudden, when sati arises, the form and mind will know. Then the sati that arises, the form and mind will see the mental intention, the very subtle one, the one that comes through the back door. Last time you never see one. Because of the silence, you see your motive, understand? The hidden motive, the subtle hidden selfishness behind everything you do. Last time, initially, when the Buddha said living being has delusion, ignorance. Wow, that time, university student, someone top in my school. You think you have a lot of smart and brilliant. I said, cannot be. We all graduate, we are top in our own state and school. How can the Buddha say we are ignorant and deluded? That time I cannot understand. No, later when I cultivate, then I saw my mind. Then I realized, really, deluded. Ignorant. Because you don't understand the truth. That's why everything you arise, the thought, is egoic one. Selfish behind one. For me or not for me, otherwise you wouldn't do one. Oh. Very seldom you have a pure thought of love and compassion because you really want to help the world, contribute to society. You're very sincere, hardly. You come out work, money first. Get a good job, good salary. So what is the motive? Materialistic success for you. But then there are realities in life and existence which you have to understand. So when you start to see all this, you can only see when there is mindfulness. So when you cultivate kaya, just do kaya. Don't move too fast. When kaya not stable, you want to do sati sampajana, you forget about it. Your kaya nupasana is very important. Four posture, then all action, all movement in the present moment, bending, stretching. That's why after that only sati sampajana. Mindfulness of the four posture, then only sati sampajana. Means mindfulness of all action, all movement in the present moment. That is kaya. Then when your kaya is there, then only you can reflect and contemplate on the four elements. The 32 part, the 9 stages of 7-3 contemplation. Because as you do the daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, the initial wisdom, the insight into the characteristic, anicca dukkha anatta, it will start to come in. It will start to manifest. You will start to understand. Then as you contemplate and reflect, it will stabilize. Then only you can cultivate the other contemplative meditation, like the four elements. Why is not me? Because it's only element, no knowing. That's why you must penetrate the three characteristics. Otherwise, you cannot understand. It's only knowledge. Element only, Brother Theo say, the Buddha say. But you heard. You have knowledge. Then how do you know that it's not me? Yeah, but they say element only. Everybody also can say that. But if you don't meditate and see clearly how this form and mind function, how it arise and pass away through nature's condition, everything is dependent originating. There is nobody inside there, not a permanent unchanging entity or a soul inside there. You cannot understand. It's only theory, knowledge. That's why you must develop sati sampajana, daily mindfulness. Don't try to know, then it will become very clear. Then the third one is what? Clear comprehension of what? Suitability. The most important place is here and now. Understand? Don't go and project your thought. Understand? Because here is the reality. The most important people are the people around you. Understand? When you are traveling, you worry about your loved one at home. You spoil your holiday. What can you do? You are there, they are here. Even you hear bad news, what can you do? You have to face the reality, suitability. Most important time is here and now. Most important place is this place. Most important people are these people. So these are the people that can help you. Understand? Then nowadays you got phone. You can contact people. Understand? So this is clear comprehension of the reality. Not go and worry about life. Project your thought and all those things. Then you cannot act. Understand? That's why you must have heedfulness to have clarity, to have stillness, to have the silent mind, so that you can see clearly, so that you can make better decisions, so that you can act with understanding the way it will pass. Then the last one is like clear comprehension of what? Non-delusion, and so on. The defilement of insight, when they come, you must be careful, otherwise you are caught. So clear comprehension, non-delusion. You are not deluded by what happened to your mind state. Like all of a sudden, when you cultivate until throughout the day you are mindful, then the thought comes. Hey, you already enlightened all. They say the arahant are always mindful throughout the day. So you thought you throughout the day mindful, you arahant already. That is delusion, defilement of insight. Clear comprehension of non-delusion. You are not deluded by what happened. Well, meditation is not about that mind state, the condition state. Meditation is about developing wisdom, understanding. When you have wisdom, when you are not deluded by the phenomenal world, when thought has got no power over you, then you have progress. Then you have developed understanding. And that is the real thing that can liberate your mind, nothing else. All the other mind state, no point. So non-delusion is also very important. Okay? So cultivate. Don't go and worry about when I have sati sambhajana, must I be mindful of this, mindful of that, being attentive of the feeling. Forget about all the day. These are all the thoughts tell you. You just do, silent, aware. When sati arises, the form and mind will understand. This I just do. Pay respect, bow, do your puja, do your religious routine. Then throughout the day, maintain awareness, attentiveness, mindfulness. Then one day, that mindfulness that arises, stabilizes, it will see everything, it will understand everything. Then you understand what sati is. Then you understand what meditation is. It's not through the thought anymore. You are with the moment. Constantly with the moment. Anchored to the kaya. Then throughout the day, you like no thought on. Just mindful, aware. Then you will come to know the two types of sati, awareness. Spacious awareness, when you are silent. Then when you live life, when you move around, specific phenomenal awareness. Whatever you see, the mind and the phenomena move as one. That's how you can see the chakritya band like you inside his body. The moving car, your awareness and the car move as one. Then the flow of nature, you can see within nature, the breeze, the weather, the plant, the leaf, the trees, they have their nature's flow. And your mind can be with it, silent, without thought. You just move with it. Accord and flow, body and mind as one, phenomena and mind as one. That's a specific phenomenal awareness. And hardly any thought, no thought. You just live. That is heedful living. That is daily mindfulness. Then when you can do that until it becomes a new way of living life, then you become different. You transform. You don't think like before anymore. Then all the chattering will stop. Then all the hindrance will disappear. Well, by then, your spiritual faculty is already very stable, very different. Oh, we have to stop at 10:45. Next time, remind me. Sadhu. Okay, we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer merit, then we end. Chariam merits with the devas. Akka satta cha bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed ones, Idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontunya tayo. Let this merits accrue to our departed ones, and may they all to be well and happy always. Now we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Deo vasatakalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavat loko cha raja bhavat dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government, the king and the rulers be righteous. Then you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep your respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we end.
Sunday, I think many